Jesus, just a mention of your name, wonderful name, hallelujah. Flowers grow, the desert blooms again, amen. Like fire in winter cold, like your precious gold, Jesus, just the mention of your name, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, wonderful Father in heaven. Blessed you, O Lord. Blessed be the wonderful name. Thank you, Lord, for today. Father, now, Lord, as you preach thy word again, Lord, just break it down and, Lord, bring it to mind, O Father, the thing that we have learned. And may God, all this remind us, Lord, of our walk with you. May it bring forth memory, Lord, sweet memory of that which you have done for us. And your constant reminder, Father, how that we should walk with you. The Lord, you have given us a spirit of a sound mind. So, Lord, with that, Father, as you approach thy word, may we learn to understand more and in wisdom, Father. Thank you, Lord. Father, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Let's go to the book of Luke chapter 1 verse 26 to 38. Before we read this passage of scripture, let me say this. You know, brothers, we are living in a world that is constantly changing. It changes so fast, one moment this, one moment, and if we were to go back, that when is that period of time that we see a lot of changes? We can go back to the earlier, to the beginning of the 20th century. You know, Brother Barron mentioned to us that that the age we are living in is Laodicea Church age. And you know, he put the year 1906. And I believe 1906 is a good year. Because that is when there is a great outpouring of the Holy Spirit. That triggered up, we will say then, the beginning of the last of the seven church ages. So if you look at 1906, and I was thinking about what Jesus said, that this generation shall not pass away. Now I would like to say that, this generation shall not pass away. Jesus was referring to in the book of Matthew 24, was talking about the generation of Israel. But let's take the generation of the Gentiles. And so the church age was the last, this is the last church age, then this generation not passed away until all the things that Jesus Christ said to be done will be fulfilled. So I believe that we can take a note of that. For 120 years is the lifespan of a man. Man could live up to 120, but many people don't. Most of us live 50, 60 in Africa. As I said this, many people die young around. In fact, in Africa, many people's age is around about 60, 65. And depends on which part of Africa. But in Japan, you know, people live up to 100 plus years. So if we were in 1906, put 120 years to it, so we were end up to 2026. And that's a pretty good time, and we probably would have about 5 years left then. But if you look at Israel being a nation in 1948, and we take it as, because the generation of Israel was given back the land of Israel. So it's, and they are struggling at that time to survive, where all the neighboring nations are fighting to drown Israel in the sea or to destroy Israel. And as I said this last week, God said, and I believe you can find it somewhere in Jeremiah chapter 31, somewhere there, chapter 31, verse 36 or 56, somewhere there, where the Bible is talking about you know, about the nation of Israel. And in the way I paraphrase it is this, very simple. If ever the nation of Israel can be destroyed, God failed in His promise to Abraham. You know. So, and we know that we take the time when Israel came out of Egypt and wandering out there in the wilderness, and because of the unbelief, God said that for those 20 and above, they should die out there in the wilderness. It was a hard time for them, and Moses wrote a song, and how they said for those who are elderly, many of them would live up to 70 years old, because they're out there in the desert struggling to live and survive, so to speak, even though God cared for them. But if they're risen of good health, live up to 80. So 1948, we add 70 or 80 to it, and we can see how close we are at the end of the generation for Israel. But having said that, we know that the Second World War started and ended. Well, when we say it ended in 1945. And from that time on, we see the world come into play as people are looking for a peaceful world. People can live in peace. So that's why we have, after the Second World War ended in May 1948, the following month, United Nations were established. Very fast, huh? United Nations were established, founded, you know, in America, and Russia, and all the other countries, even China, become part of the United Nations, member of the United Nations. And then following that, in the 3 years later, 1948, WHO came in. You know, so nations were trying to come together to establish some form of rules to govern the nations of the world. To try to bring about peace, try to bring about some relationship between nations, and also try to help one another to contain diseases. Right? So that's what they are doing. But you know, over the years we can see United Nations never seem to be able to do a proper job. Try as it might. Because you know one thing, no matter what, every organization, there are always powerful men in the organization. And there's a lot of opinions going on, politics going on, and but another nation is never perfect. You can sit around a round table and talk about peace, and in the back of their head, they're going for war. So never be at peace. WHO, they're trying their best also to do and bring about some healthcare. Yes, in the beginning we're doing very fine, but you look at what's going on now. You think things are fine. And then in America, they have their FDA and the CDC and whatever they have. Every nation have their own. China have their own too. You know, Russia have their own. So there will be a lot of disagreement over how to deal with health. And some powerful men in America would like to cull the population of the world, want to let the poor people die off. Yes, this is the world that we're living in, and that's a fact. Huh? And when I talk to a lot, and when I talk to some Christians, they're asking questions. They are affected by what's going on. And the Bible tells us there's a lot of fear going on in the world. People fearing for fear. But we're talking about here, I'm bringing this out to help us understand that what we are facing now is just a phase. But what's coming will be, more fear that will be coming upon this world. There'll be a lot of things that we are facing, a lot of uncertainty, a lot of things that will be coming upon this world. So that the people will be fearing for fear. Yeah, nations are breaking. Israel already awakening. And now the Israel is on the edge of a possible war that might bring about a third world war. Alright? So now as we approach this and we're talking about the Psalm, let us keep our mind focused on what the Lord wants us to know. And every time we look at the examples in the Bible and the things that are recorded in the Bible, they were written for our admonition. They're for our edification in our walk with Him, with our Lord. So let us go to Luke chapter 1. And here we have verse 26 to 38. Last week when we talked about how that the 12 spies enter into the land of Canaan to spy out the land. And I said this, God made a promise. And God cannot break His covenant. Because God and His word, they are one. His word is Him. The word of the Lord is God. Do you understand? And whatever God said, the word that goes out of Him is Him. You don't differentiate between the Spirit of God and the Word. They are agreement in one. You cannot separate them. Like every one of us, our word, when we make a promise, we must keep that promise. Or else we are a liar. Do you understand what I'm saying? Our word is as good as who we are, what we are. And we said we give up, make a promise and we break it, then what are we? You know. So if we have this mind of Christ, that word, I mean, I talk about the mind. Somehow we're not just talking about, you know, mentally sound. We are talking about a sound mind that is word-based. A sound mind that is the wisdom of God, the understanding of God. Like Paul said in his word, in his epistle, it's not just to have faith in God. He said, have the faith of God. And that is the revelation, when we talk about the faith of God, and the book of Revelation of God, the revelation of God that was given to Jesus Christ. And He had showed it to John to give it to us. It's the revelation of God that's given to Christ, given to us. That's the faith of God, the understanding of things. If we don't understand this, then what are we? I mean, yeah, my heart goes out to many people who call themselves Christian. They like to sing and dance and be charismatic. And when it comes to the truth of God, they do not want to know doctrine. I feel so sad for them. They just say, I'm a Christian. I thank God for saving my soul, but they have no interest in learning the Word of God. And there are some that said to me, I don't want to know about all this doctrine because it's so hard to understand. And doctrine is always, you know, there is always this divide, you know. And so they put it away. And God wants a bride. Christ, you know, God wants a bride for His Son. And the bride of the Son must understand what the Son, who the Son is. And the thing that the Father has given to the Son is giving to us, is a gift. But we don't use the gift. And it's so very, very sad that a lot of Christians, I can tell there's a lot of Christians that do not want to study the Word. No wonder the Bible always mentions little flock. Fear not, little flock. And there's always a remnant, there's always a little group, the small percentage of believers that make herself ready. Is it not true? You know, sometimes it scares me when I hear Christians like my friend used to say to me. He said, Richard, are you telling me that only those who believe Brother Branham's message will go in the rapture? I said, no, I didn't say that. I didn't say that. You know, that's a lot of assumption. And that is very true too among people in the end message, the Branhamite especially. They think that they are the one that's going to make the rapture because they quote Brother Branham word for word. On the Facebook, somebody asked me, you know, when I said, when the wife is made perfect, then we will be changed and in the age of regeneration, actually the sons of God will be manifest. The adoption will take place. You know. And he doesn't understand when I say, and it seems that a lot of people think, oh, my church, let's make somebody born again. It's your church. Every one of you are going to, all those in the church are going to make the rapture. I say, I hope so. I pray so. I want them to be so. But I'm not, who am I to say, and how would I know? To say, oh, this brother is not going to make it. This sister is not going to make it. This one is going to make it. That one is going to make it. It's not the group in the, it's not the people in one group in the local assembly that they will all make it. I don't know. You see? And I believe like it is so that, you know, as Bob Brown used to say, when he ran, after when he got in rapture, we saw somebody, oh, Brother Sosa, you make it, you make it. And there's a song they say, I mean, somebody wrote it, I want to make the rapture. Yes, I want to make the rapture. And the thing is, how are you going to make the rapture if you do not make yourself ready in the wood? The wife can make herself ready. Means she's dressed up. Dressed up. Is that all right? That's right. So the wife is make God get herself ready. Then when the final day comes, then she'll be presented to the Father. So if you're not ready, then you can't. And readiness is that you be, that we be one with Christ. Are you getting what I'm saying? It is not just, oh, you will be with Christ just because I'm a Christian. I believe. Yes, sir. You know, I believe this. When everyone who is born again, who have experienced it, even though they do not understand a lot of things, or even like the nominal Christian out there, they do not care so much about understanding the word. You know, that's why people ask a question, like my friend. They think that everyone who claims to be a Christian, born again, from whatever denomination, they make the rapture. Then there's a lot of things in the Bible that you cannot answer me. There's one place in the Bible, in the book of Revelation, when the great white throne judgment comes, right? And the Bible said, and the word in Revelation said, the books were open. The books were open. And everyone will judge according to the word. Is that right? You get it? That's the great white throne judgment. And last, John, who received the revelation from Christ and was shown the vision, he said, or the Spirit said, blessed are those who have part in the first resurrection. Because the second death have no power to take anyone in the first resurrection. But the second death, the second resurrection, death has the power to take life. So that's when the great white throne judgment, the Bible said, the books are open, everyone will judge out from these books according to their works. Their works. What is their works? The manifestation. And anyone whose name is not in the book of life, book, not books of life, the book of life. What is the book of life? This is the book of life. There's always this touch and shadow the Bible is using. Jesus is the book of life. Right? And we are the little books. We are the epistle to be read by all men. Did not Paul say that? Oh, you don't know the scripture. But you're showing the scripture. Hey, brother and sister, you're old enough, you understand enough to know the scripture. You know when Paul preached the Bible? He didn't have a Bible with him. Open to the book of Joel. Open the book of Habakkuk or Isaiah. No. He said that he caught the scripture. He expected the people to know. Those people who know the scripture are those people who take time to study. Yep. You know what Paul said? If you don't work, you don't eat. Yeah. So if I don't work and do what you call this, to look into the treasure, you know, you want to dig for treasure, you're working. Then you're not going to get what you're supposed to get. You think by sitting down at home, food will appear on the table? And the same thing, you think that if you don't study the Word of God, you think that you understand what God is trying to tell you? That's how a lot of people say, I have no time to study the Bible, I have no time to go to church, I have no time to pray, I have no time for this and that. What do you have then? What time do you have for yourself all the time? 24 hours a day, 8 hours of sleep, 8 hours of work, the rest of the 8 hours, what do you do? Not even an hour for God, no, not an hour. No, I don't expect you to do that. You know, I can walk the street, I can go out. And when I go out, I can just praise the Lord. Yesterday, you know what? Because my feet was burning, all that thing yesterday, I decided to put on my shoe instead of put on my sandal. I said, well, let me try to put on my shoe again and see whether it gives me any problem. So I wear the old pair of the walking shoe. Old pair, you know, chemistry is already worn out, but I wore it and I walked from my home to the shopping mall and buy something around there and then come back. And came back. And that about the distance, about 1 kilometer. And I came back, yeah, my feet are good. As I walked, I was just telling the Lord, you know, speaking to the Lord, and while I walk, you know, telling him about, you know, my problem, my shoe, you know, I mean, I'm talking to him, you know what I'm saying. And then sometimes I walk closer and hey, man, I'm feeling fine. And I pray that, you know, all this thing, my feet, so I want to go back to wearing shoe. I don't want to go back and wear these sandals. You see. So, you walk. The sisters, you're cooking at home? Yeah, you can praise the Lord, talk to the Lord. You can take your pots and pan and do it as a drum and just say, praise the Lord, do that. You can praise the Lord, you can just have what we call a relationship. And that's why when I see Christian, when I talk to Christian, Oh, I see what was on Facebook. People put all the things that they do not know and they argue about certain things. Right, sister, I think it's a very sad story. On Facebook, I see a lot of people put up. I mean, yeah, Facebook is fun because you want to have social. It's a social media thing. You want to interact. You know. Yeah, you want to show where you go out and what you do, fine. But the other thing is that another thing is this, that spend more time, I pray, for interaction with the Lord than just interaction with people out there on Facebook. Huh? Okay. So now the 12 spies, they went out there. As I said this, when God makes a promise, a covenant, He keeps it. But you know, it's a sad thing, a sad story. The 10 of the spies came by and gave a very, very negative report. Very, very negative. And Joseph was so bold enough to stand up and said, no, we can go in and we can take it. And Caleb said, yep, we can do it. That's why I like the name Joshua and Caleb. You know what Caleb means? You know what Joshua means? Jehovah is Savior. And Caleb, you know what Caleb is, the sound of it, it represents a happy spawn, like a dog. Yep! We can take it. And that Joshua was the ministry, the fivefold ministry. And the church, Caleb represented the church and said, yep, whatever Joshua said, the ministry said, pointing us to the word, yep, we can take it. We can believe in it. All those things in the Bible doesn't, it means something. It has always a representation. That's why I'm trying to get people to understand the name, why God called Adam, Adam. Huh? The word man is Adam. But Adam is the name also for the man. Now yeah, the Bible tells us the first man, first Adam. What? The first man is it not Adam? Yep, called first Adam. The second man, the last Adam. So what is the meaning of Adam? What's the meaning of man? There must be a difference. A mystery. Because Adam was the first creation. And the second man was also a new creation. Well, as I say this now, the 10th spy came up, the lying mind. Oh, we can't take it. We can't take it. Here we have in Luke chapter 1, verse 26 to 38. And in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God unto a city of Galilee, Nazareth, to a virgin espoused to a man whose name was Joseph, of the house of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And the angel came unto her and said, Hail, thou that art highly favored. The Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women. You know, this is a very well-known passage of scripture. You know what? The angel Gabriel approached Mary and said all these things. And you know how the Catholic Church monopolized on this one passage here, or just this one verse here. Blessed art thou among women. So they lift up Mary. Yes, I thank God for Mary. She must be, I'm not all Marys anyway, but this particular Mary. You know who has such a relationship with God? That God favored her. We thank God for her. Right? We thank God for Paul. Even though he was beginning, well, a rascal against God's people, so to speak, but he loved the Lord. But he was so religious, so traditional, Latin, traditionalized, we use the word. By, well, the traditions of the elder, not the word of the prophets of old, was so much twisted and taught by the elders that Paul thought it was the truth. And he was all out to keep the truth, to preserve the truth. Well, isn't the character the same? That they go back to the history of the Dark Ages and see what happened back then. Anyone who don't bow down to the Catholic Church will be taken. Those who had the Bible, those who read the Bible, many of them were taken and by the Inquisition, you know, and then tried to direct the Jesuit, you know, to interrogate them. Very bad. I just, you go read the folks' books on matter. Imagine sewing a cloth, a length of cloth, where there is hooked tied to it. In one way, pointing one way like an arrow. And let you make you to swallow, fall you to swallow, then you pull it out. What happened to your guts? Or they put you on the rack and pull you apart. Or tie you to four horses and quartered you. Wow, those were the days. Why? They believe they have the truth, so Paul believed the truth. But when God showed Paul the truth, you know what? He realized, because he really loved the Lord, as Jesus told him, then you died for me, you suffered for me. And I thank God for Paul. But we don't put Paul on a pedestal as Galatians does. They put Mary on a pedestal, they put Joseph, they put all the saints. And they prayed to the saints. Now, some Well, other Christians were not Catholic. Says, well, we are not Catholic. You know, we are not like them.
Hey,
your mind, are you sound in the Word of God? Or are you in the traditions of man? And that's why they said the book of Revelation, whose name is not found in the book of life, but because in the lake of fire. That means there are those whose name is in the book of life. They'll be given eternal life. Yes. But they don't make the rapture over this site of the 1,000 years. Actually, when we study the Bible carefully, we realize that there is going to be a bride. And those who don't make the bride, they wait until the 1,000 years is over. As the Bible said, the dead does not rise until the 1,000 years is over. Otherwise, then what is the message given for? I ask this question to many. What is the message given for? If I'm a Methodist, you are a Baptist, he's an Episcopalian, and he's an Anglican. Whatever denomination, every one of them are 3,500 denomination and sect and division in the Christian world. So it doesn't matter where you belong, as long as you believe in Jesus Christ, we all come up in the rapture. Hallelujah! The message is useless. Let me throw away all this. I don't need even the Bible. I believe in Jesus Christ. Right? You baptize whichever way you want. You believe whatever you want. It makes no difference. We're all going to make the rapture. Let me tell you, that's a devil's lie. That's why that we understand that in every age that there is a message given. And that's why we read in the book of Revelation, the seven church ages. People don't understand it. They do not believe it because it's a mystery. They find it hard to grasp the truth. Because people tend to believe and join with the big organization. But here was this little town of Nazareth. I mean, the city of Nazareth, you call it. Huh? And here was this maid. Here we were a virgin. And the angel appeared. In verse 29. And when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and cast in her mind what manner of salutation this should be. Now, Mary wasn't in a shock. You know, an angel came to her, saluted her. Now, an angel did not come to her with a shining bright light. Woo! Like people will imagine. You know? Now, when a proper angel came to him, in the form of a man, looked very normal. Just salute. But she recognized there's something about this man. Obviously. Now that's why I said, as has been said before, how many of you would recognize Jesus Christ if he walked, if he come to Singapore, if he come down from heaven and walked in Singapore? Walk where you are. You know, he knew that you are going out in a group, and then he came along, walked along the roadside, and he passed you. Would you be recognized? We would recognize him. Or that you going out there in the food court and sit and eat, and then Jesus Christ is sitting at the next table. Would you be able to recognize him? Oh yeah, we will recognize him. What? How? Well, because he got long hair to the shoulder. What? Where? And what? He dressed like the way he dressed back in the Middle East in the days of, you know, the Bible. Ha! Or he got the, you know, we have all these ideas, this mind, this concept. You know, the Bible said, do not forsake to entertain strangers. Right? Huh? You might be entertaining stranger, an angel unaware. Alright, yeah. People are thinking only an angel appears in a form to you and all that. Huh? And she was troubled because, what is this salutation? Yeah, I mean, she's a virgin. She probably had read the book of Isaiah about a virgin she conceived. Yeah, you know. I guess that this news about the prophet Isaiah had, you know, prophesied of must have gone down to all this generation of time, and all these young virgins say, I pray, I hope it's me. Yes, no, Yvonne, not so? You know, real, I mean, because maybe it's me, you know. And the angel said unto her, fear not, Mary, for you have found favor with God, and behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. Amen. Now, when he said, the Bible said, when he shall bring forth a son, yeah, you must understand in the book of Isaiah, behold, a child is born. A child is born, and the son is given. Now, we need to understand the usage of the word child and son. The word child, you see, Aleph always means, it says, someone growing up. A baby, a child growing up. A son is always one who takes the name is Ben in Hebrew. Ben, son. That means you say, okay, Jonah, Ben, Jimmy. That sort of thing, you know. In India, you have son of, son, S-O, right? You put the word stroke there, the S-O, son of, son. So, in the Hebrew, the word son means he belongs to the Father, and he had the sonship, the authority, or the inherent passed down from the Father to him. That's why the word son is used. But when we read like this, bring forth a son, yeah, a son means what? Let me say this. I was just putting something on the Facebook for somebody who's asking a question. If I were to say this to a man or a brother and whose wife is pregnant, whose wife conceived, and he didn't know, but they said that by this woman, I said, your wife is with child. So when I say the wife is with child, what does it mean? And the brother is happy, he said, oh, he's a son. I said, I didn't say a son. Oh, that's a daughter then. I didn't say a daughter. I said, she is with child. You see the word here? You know, that's why people need to understand the word. When he say you shall bring forth a son, the word son here is a child, but it's a male or man child. We use the word the Bible used in Book of Revelation, man child. What it means a man child? I mean it's a male or male child. Do you understand that? So I would say to the brother, say, your wife is with child. Okay? But if I know it's a son, I would not say your wife is with a son. Sounds such thing, right? If he asks me, is it a son? I say, okay, it's yes, it's a son. It means it's a boy. Or if he asks me, is it a boy? Then I say, yes, it's a boy. So you see the usage of the word. So you shall bring forth a male child, that is to say, a son, and call his name Jesus. He shall be great and shall be called the Son of the Highest. See the word son here? Of the Highest. It means he belongs to God. And the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. And he shall reign upon the house of Jacob forever, and of the kingdom there shall be no end. Then Mary said unto the angel, How shall this be? Seeing I know not a man. Because, see yet, not married, neither have she really conceived with Joseph, if she was just engaged. I know not, I knew not. I mean, no, I have not have any knowledge of that. You know what I mean? I have not been a wife of anyone. Now, and the angel said unto her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Highest shall overshadow you. Therefore also that holy thing which shall be born of thee shall be called the Son of God. And behold, thy cousin Elizabeth, she also have conceived a son in her old age. And this is the sixth month with her, who was called barren. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. Now, this is what Mary said. And this is what I want you to take note. Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord, be it unto me according to thy word." And the angel departed from her. Now, do you understand what I'm here? See, we are looking at. You know, the prophecy has gone out in the days of Isaiah. And obviously, Lord, there must be some virgin that is waiting for it. Perhaps it's me. I don't know about me. I don't think Mary is thinking about that. All she ever did was just to love the Lord. She must be very special. The Bible didn't tell us about it. Neither did the Bible tell us that Abraham was like this, that is because God chose him. No, we do not know. The Bible does begin to tell us about this little town of Nazareth, or city of Nazareth. And there was this woman. You understand? And God chose her. Yeah, God knows about her, surely. She found favor with God. May every one of us find favor with God. Yeah. Then we have to be loving God. Some people say, "Oh, God is no respecter of person." I know that He's no respecter of person, whether you're Indian, Chinese, Americans, or Icelander, or Norwegian. God has no respecter of person, surely. But God has favor indeed. No? No? Did He not say, "Jacob have I loved, and Esau have I hate"? No? He doesn't have favor? No favoritism with God. Okay, He does. But as far as salvation is concerned, it doesn't matter who you are. Sinner, criminal, murderer, rapist, fornicator, adulterer, kill, whatever you are, you can come to the altar and give a life to the Lord. He's no respecter of person. Right? Rich or poor, big or small, doesn't matter. The gift is there for you to take it. But once you draw to the Father, what is your relationship to the Father? That's how important it is. Surely, surely. Yeah, today we don't have many sons and daughters born because the government at that time they stopped at 2, and we are also faithful, we stop at 2. Some stop at 1, some don't even stop at nothing. So we have nothing. But back in the days of my father, he has 10 children. Who was his favorite? Who was my father's favorite when we were 10? Huh? Yeah. Someone who's always close to him. He will always pick and go out. And that's one of the things about favoritism. You may have 10 children, and the one that always comes to you, "Daddy, daddy, daddy." Close to you, you know what I mean? Do everything, like to do something for you. And you're special to the Father. So remember, Jacob have I loved, Esau have I hated, because Jacob, he knew what the inheritance means. Do you? You have, every one of us have inheritance. Remember, Christ's inheritance is given to the saint. Paul talked about that. I wrote the book. His inheritance in the same. What is Christ's inheritance in you? Do you still remember? Some of you probably forgot. Huh? Paul mentioned about his inheritance in the saints. You better go read that book if you do not remember that. What the Father gave to the Son gave it to us. The revelation that God gave it to the Son gave it to us. The name that God gave it to Him, the Son gave it to us. My, that's what I enjoy when I read the Bible and God started opening it up. Oh my. If we belong to Christ and He is the husband, If we are the wife, what do we inherit? His name. His name. That's why we are called Mrs. If you like to say Mrs. Jesus Christ. You know, we are. We must be made ready. This cannot be overemphasized. This is a very fact. If our relation with Christ is not there, here we have seen Mary. And Mary said, "Behold the handmaid of the Lord. Be it unto me according to your word." Whatever you say, I believe I will do it. You know, Jesus, in many places, Jesus said, but you know, when we read about all these things about these characters, and yet we don't follow. It's not like, yeah, Mary, you know, yeah, what Mary did, yes, yes, yes. What people did, wow, yeah, yeah, yeah. You know, what Paul said, yeah, yeah. You know, but we don't do as what this, as the Bible said, this was all example. All these were penned down, recorded down for what? For the example. It's not just to have a nice story reading. That we might just be like Mary as well. That is why, be unto me according to thy word. According to thy word. So, do we have the time to study? Huh? You know, let me just go back a little bit because I just want to put all this thing together. Now, we all know about the doctrine of the serpent seed. Right? So when we talk about the serpent seed, back then people came into the message, many of them was wondering. Oh, the serpent seed. We have the serpent as a male. And then they ask question, Bergen, is there a female? Of course, there's a female serpent. What is it so difficult for people to understand that there is a Mr. Serpent? Right? Is that true? Because God created all animals, the birds of the field, the fish of the field, all in pair. Male and female created he them, right? All men. What people don't even seem to be able to understand. But the question I want to ask is this. Why this is not that, you know, for Satan to thwart the plan of God, why was it that the female serpent not come into play? Huh? Why must be the fall took place between the male serpent and Eve instead of a female serpent and Adam? Have you ever wondered about this? Why? Very simple, isn't it? I mean, I always ask this question. Very simple, isn't it? Is it simple to understand why it is not the female serpent with Adam? Instead, it's the male serpent with Eve. There are several reasons. First of all, you cannot cause the fall using, again, an original. Adam was created originally. He knows the word. He stays with the word. You cannot, you know, break him down. All right. Every one of us, we believe the word of God. If someone comes to you and present to you something that is not truly the word of God, but able to move some words around, would you be able to stand firm on what you know to be true? Well, this question was asked of me. For those who believe that Jesus was born of the egg of Mary, that means to say that Mary's egg was involved in the creation of the body of Jesus Christ. You see, it is very hard for them to grasp because they want to make, because here it says in this verse, go to the book, verse 27. To a virgin espoused to a man, whose name was Joseph of the house of David, right? And then over in verse 32, and the Lord God shall give unto him the throne of his father David. So David, Joseph descends from David. So Jesus Christ must come from Joseph and sits on the throne of David. And so in the same type way, it must be a body that is physical, identical from the flesh of human. Therefore, use Mary's egg. Because Jesus was the son of highest, therefore God created a sperm. But he took the egg of Mary. So to make sure that Jesus Christ is actually a man. So that he can be a God man. Now, if we understand the scripture and understand what sound doctrine is, the question was asked. In fact, many years ago, there was all this argument. That's why I do not like to, I get myself away from forum and argument in public. Because when I put out in public, here will one come in and ask another question and twist the verse. In the end, the whole thing becomes very messy. And that's what I do not like. I always deal one with one. Huh? You understand? So I said, we all know Jesus was a new creation. Totally, it's God. But you see the word here? Where you have written this chapter here? What is that? Verse 35. The angel answered and said to her, the Holy Spirit shall come upon you, and the power of the Holy of the Highest shall overshadow thee. Now, they try to explain. Now, let me say this, the stupidity of many people in trying to be smart, and yet they find themselves being foolish. The Holy Spirit overshadow you. What does overshadow you mean? Overshadow you. Overshadow Mary. It's to push the egg of Mary of his original sin. So God could use that. Huh. It must be so. You know the word overshadow. When I said that Jesus Christ is a new creation, no, it cannot be because God overshadowed Mary. How do you know this? He has to do with the egg of Mary. And then the question is asked, if Jesus Christ was a new creation without egg of Mary, then how is it that new creation is subjected to temptation and death? Now, that's why it's not clear. Let me say this. I'm going to post that part of it on my web page. Not my web page, but on Facebook. Now let's look into this. After God created every birds and creatures and all this, who was the last creation? Adam, right? Okay. Let's go back before he created Adam. And God said, well, let us create sparrow. Now, when God created a sparrow, is a sparrow a new creation? Come on! Let me create a koala bear. Is a koala bear a new creation? Let me create an alligator. Is alligator, the male and female alligator, a new creation? And lastly, God said, let us create man in our own image. Is that of a new creation? It seems to many people that they are not new creation. How can they not be new when there's something never been done before? Huh? If God decided today to create something, a new thing, a new animals, a new species of something that had never been seen before, never been created before, is it not a new creation? Some people think maybe they no, it's just a creation. Then what is a new creation? A new creation is something new. That's why we have the Old Testament, New Testament. Because the New Testament is something new, it's a new covenant. It's not an old covenant make new. No, it's a new covenant totally. The old covenant is old covenant. New covenant is new covenant. I can understand how many people's mind. Now, let me ask you, if Adam was a new creation, he was. Because there was never any man exist before. How come he was subjected to temptation? Was he not subjected to temptation? Was not Adam subjected to temptation? Right. The serpent came to Eve, that Eve offered to Adam. Adam was subjected to temptation. He got a hard time now, problem, what to do now? Huh? So the only way the fall can come through is through a male serpent, because he's talking about the seed. Seed belongs to the male, not the woman, not the female serpent. So there could be a fall. And there could be a serpent seed. And God allows it. Is that not true? Do you know the Bible said that? In the book of Romans, I think 5:20, I think. Let me see. Let's go. I think it's Roman. Is it 5:20? What is that verse? Okay. Chapter 8, verse 20. Not chapter 5, chapter 8. So now remember, verse 8 represents resurrection, so there is a fourth verse. Okay. Chapter 8, verse 20. For the creature was subjected to vanity, not willingly, but by the reason of him who is subject to sin in hope. Okay, you understand that? God subject Adam to temptation. And see what choice Adam made. And then the fall came. And when sin came, death came. Was he not subject to temptation and death? So what about the new creation? The brother was asking. New creation subject to temptation and death. You cannot subject a new creation to temptation and death. You have to be from the egg of Mary. Something like that he was trying to say. So that he is human. Without the egg of Mary, he's not human. Really? So Adam was not human then. How did God create Adam? How did God create Adam? Some question was asked in a Facebook. What material did God form from the body of Jesus? Let me ask you, what material did God form Adam? In the first place, God created him a spirit, isn't that right? So what material is spirit? Can you break that down, maybe put on a microscope and find out what are those materials in there? Then God created the body of dust and put Adam inside that body of dust. So was there a sperm cell and an egg cell? God said, "That's correct, man." And he said, "Yeah, there's a sperm. Here is an egg. Put it together." Then what is he going to put in? To form Adam? I'm in trouble. I put it in the dust of the earth. Maybe that's how it grows to a body and becomes, form cell, it breaks in. The man, people ask silly question. Come on. We are supposed to be believer Christian. That's why I said, brother, I said, love the Bible, brother and sister. Study. Have the wisdom of God, have the Spirit of God. God give us the Spirit of summer. Understand. Do you understand what I'm saying? Overshadow means to come upon Mary and then create the life and put in that. Overshadow. It's just like a special anointing. Huh? So you mean to say that Mary was there and then something the Holy Spirit covered her with some kind of a thing? It's a word. When God made a body for Adam, do you think that he came down as a man and take the dust of the earth and shape into a, you know what I'm saying, into a man, the body of a man. All he had to do to speak the word is creative. And then, this, you see, that's why Jesus Christ, when he grew up, he was subjected to temptation, just like Adam. He was subjected to death. Not willingly. Is that not right? Because Jesus, God already prophesied of it. Very simple to understand this. But people just make a man mess. Alright, so let us be like Mary, with a mind disciplined to accept the word of God. Let us go to the book of 2 Samuel, chapter 23, verse 2. The Spirit of the Lord spake by me, and his word was in my tongue. So, that here it is. As a Christian, are we ashamed of our faith? Are we willing to open our mouth and speak about the Lord? Huh? We shouldn't be ashamed. I can't remember the name of one of the well-known believers in days of old. He cannot stop talking to people about Jesus. You know. Are we ashamed, you know, of you know, praying and thank God in public when we are sitting on a table and eat by ourselves? I mean, I'm not saying that you're in public in the food court with a board of food there and say, "Hallelujah, praise the Lord, thank you, Lord, for this food." And call everybody to look at you. No, you don't have to. I'm just at least to, you know, look, bow your head and just thank the Lord. Or do we look around and see nobody watching? When people are watching, we don't pray. We must be able to confess our faith. The words in our mouth, so let us do it. Alright, now. Go to the book of Ecclesiastes now. Let me just explain something about this first, because I think there is much of a, you know, difficulty for many people to understand this. Ecclesiastes, you know, written by Solomon. Ecclesiastes chapter 7, verse 26. So I hope the sister is not offended. Because the way that he's speaking here, say, whoa, how is it always that we women are the one in trouble? Okay? Alright, that's why when Brother Abraham preached, and he said that people are saying that Brother Abraham was a woman hater. I know. Chapter 7, verse 26 to 28. And I find more bitter than death, the woman whose heart is snares and nets, and her hand has bands. Whoso pleases God shall escape from her, but the sinner shall be taken by her. Behold, this have I found, said the preacher, counting one by one to find out the account, which yet my soul seeketh, but I find not. One man among a thousand have I found, but a woman among all those have I found not. Now, here's King Solomon. I mean, being a preacher, you know. But, you know, King Solomon has so many wives, and he had been around. And, you know, when you see women, and back in those days, fornication are there, adulteries are there. So, when you get women doing those things, it's as he said, it's, I found more bitter than that, the woman whose heart is snares and nets. And don't, you know how that, today, I read news how that in America, in Europe, especially in America, young women you know, in their teen, or even left high school, they are being deceived into pornography or to become some sort of porn star. They will offer a good amount of money by all these men and say that we were going to take some video of you, you know, in dressed scantily and things like that, and we pay you, like I say, $100, you know, for 1 hour of shots and things like that. And, you know, it's good money. And, you know, I don't know, America is seem to be a rich country that have a lot of poor people. And the woman younger say, okay. So, well, after 1 hour, everything is fine. They were described perhaps in a bikini and all that stuff. Oh, good, you're very nice. We like you, this and that. And, you know, they know that this will be posted. And then after a week or two, the man will call up the woman again, the girl again. You want some more shot? You want no more money? You know, of course, easy money. But this time, you know, you will be nuked. Now, so get stuck. And the man said, we'll offer you a little bit more money if you like, you know, we like you, this and that. And then, you know, they let themselves go to do this. And this thing that posted there, what on the website, that site, whatever you have, they call that. And, you know, it becomes a snare. People visit all this pornographic site. And by some of this woman, they find easy money. So, it becomes some sort of an escort. You know what they call it, you know? Is it called an escort? Social escort, right? And then by they enter into prostitution. You know. So, that's what Solomon was looking at this. For one man, as good is very hard. But for the woman, even harder still. These are the whole warnings that the sanctity belongs to the devil. And there's a snare. And that's why, you know, the devil is pretty smart. I think Baba make a true observation of what the Bible teaches. Satan cannot go after Adam. He's go after Eve. Because Eve is the wicked vessel. But he's saying that the woman, a wicked vessel, don't let your sister say, oh, I'm weak. You know. You see, the devil manipulates the woman of the world. That's why you have all this makeup. And today, oh my. Now I think the excuse is that because our weather is hot. So what do you see? I haven't seen, until the next last year or two ago, I see, till today, I see more young woman, even elderly woman, wear hot pants, shorts, in the train, in the bus. Do you notice that? Yeah, go to the mall and you see them. Huh? You see a group of four young girls together, you can see at least two of them, at least two of them probably wearing shorts. Why is it? Because the weather is hot, they say. So they want to air their legs. Well, you know, America has exported a lot of things out into the world. And that's why your sister needs to cover yourself up. Cover your knees. In America, we're the Western. You know, we culture over the East. We don't do what those Western people do. And you see how the woman, in a cool country, they expose their breast. Not totally, but you know, they don't cover up, they have the top exposed. You see, people can see the cleft. Why? And is it because it's hot too? And winter comes, so they probably cool then, they also expose their top. And we see some women in Singapore are doing that too. So that becomes a snare to the man. But see, as we Christians are, remember what the Bible tells us? Modesty. Dress properly. Because if you're supposed to have a sound mind, you're a woman, be a woman, keep your hair long, don't put makeup, don't wear mini skirt, don't wear jeans and all that thing. Because we're supposed to get ready. You understand? Because God look at us. He want us to be a manifestation of the word to the world. So discipline the mind. And don't ever esteem your word above God's word. Yes, charismatic out there, in some churches even, Baptist church, they allow woman preacher. Never, never esteem your word above God's word. That's why when I always think about this, I think about my mother's cousin, who was a pastor in the Presbyterian church. He knew the baptism of the water baptism should be in the name of Jesus Christ. But because the Presbyterian church has its law and bylaw and constitution or whatever you have, he has to follow it. And he will not baptize anyone in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Let me close with this one thing. If you have read, you know, let me say this. Sister, Christian sister, believer, who love God like Mary. Huh? An example. Or even like Martha. Like Priscilla in the Bible. They are a gem in God's eye. Remember this. You are all a gem in God's eye if you love the Lord with all your heart. And then if has, as Paul would say, a gem would say, show me your faith and I will show you my faith with my work. The manifestation of your faith is there. I remember Sister Hattie Wright. If you have read Brother Abraham's book or account, you know Sister Hattie, for those who are not familiar with Brother Abraham's background, the storyteller, the people that are involved, Sister Hattie Wright was a poor woman. And one day Brother Abraham went to her home, invited her home to eat. And there were some other were there as well. And while they were sitting and eating, Sister Hattie was giving them the food, providing them, she was the host. And Brother Abraham was saying a certain thing. He was saying something. I don't know what he was saying, but he said a certain thing. And the people were listening. And when he came to say one something, Sister Hattie Wright said, "That's the truth, Brother Branham. That's the truth." You know, at that moment in time, imagine how God loved that kind of response. And the Holy Spirit came and told Brother Branham, "Give her what she wants." Wow. You know, God just came down and just told the prophet, "Ask her what she wants and give it to her." And Brother Branham said, "Sister Durant, you have spoken the truth. What do you want?" The Lord said, "What do you want? I give it to you right now." She was a poor woman. What did she want? What was going on in her head? She was a believer, Christian woman who loved the Lord, loved the truth, invited Brother Branham to come to the home, her home, and you know, and some other to have a meal. Wow. She was ministering, you know, to this brethren, inviting them to the home to you. And here Brother Abraham asked her, "What do you want?" The Lord said, "I'll put it right where you want. Right now I give to you." Just think about it. What is going on in her mind? Is she always thinking about this and that, or what was thinking her thinking in her mind? That is interesting. What are you thinking today? A penny for your thought, brother. A penny for your thought, sister. What is going on in your mind? What are you thinking of now? Are you hearing me, but you're not hearing me? Your mind is somewhere else. Huh? But maybe your mind is thinking, yeah, you hear me talk, yeah, I know. Of course, Maharaj, I'm hearing you, brother, man. I'm hearing you. But your mind is thinking, yeah, what to eat after service over. Or, about your work, they're coming tomorrow, it's Monday, you know, I have some problem. Yeah, you hear me talk. You hear my voice, my sound. It goes in the right, out the left. But your mind is working, is thinking something. What was Sister Hattie Wright thinking? The whole time, or the whole day, the whole last week, what was she thinking? What's in the mind? Interesting, isn't it? Said the brother, Grandma, I don't know what to ask. Brother Bam said, ask for $1 million and I put it right here on the table. Wow. Think about it. God's in operation, in action. You can ask for $1 million, I'll put it right here in front of you, on the table. Sister Abigail Wright said, I need before, but you know, I don't need the money. You know, I grow and I go on. What's the use of this money? Then Brother Abraham said, you can pray for your sister. The sister was, I think, very, very sick. I can't remember what sickness she was. Ask for her healing. Sister Abigail Wright said, well, if she be healed, she'll still grow and still die. Ask whatever you want. And you know what she wanted? What was she thinking? She was thinking about the love of Christ, the love of God. He said, what I want is the salvation of my two boys. Amen. And those two young boys was out the sight when they were eating there, the two boys were laughing away and joking away because the believer, the table were talking about the Lord and the Word. And Brother Bram said, Sister Eva, I give to you the salvation of the two boys. And those two were outside there, who break down and cry and kneel down and repent of their sin. Now you think about that. Huh. God knew that she doesn't want $1 million. God knew that she doesn't want to have a sister here because after all, she has salvation already. Pain and death and pain and suffering like what was here on Friday. People will have to go through. But again, I'm having this promise, pray for me. Every one of us will go through life because our body is breaking down and we will have pain. Welcome to my world, I said this. You know, I'm all of a sudden last year in December, whole lot of changes in my body. Just like that. It's not a gradual thing. Huh. Sometimes it's a pop, pop. My neck was up one moment. My pain, you know, the nerve pain in my hands, my neck, in my jaw, in my back, and now it goes down to the foot, the feet. Degeneration. There's nothing that can be done when you have degeneration. Degeneration. I wish that there would be a regeneration. Out of all this part here. So the only thing I could do what? Yeah. I said, Lord, do something for me. But I keep my faith. I know I'm going to, Lord, I'm going to face that one day if Christ doesn't come and take me. But what is faith? I mean, what is death, sorry? Death is a dream. Death is a dream. If your mind is on the Lord, just like Andy Wright, she had this sound mind, it's all about the Lord, about His Word, nothing. You know, she think about of any value that's in this world. The only value that she think about is eternal life, is in Christ. And she had been praying for the salvation of her two boys. Right? And she loved it, and she just leave it to God. A judge, Brother John Mark, said in his testimony, and sometimes I kind of laugh at it a little bit, when he was with a brother who was bitten by a snake, and it was a poisonous snake. And the brother said, Brother John Mark, pray for me. And he prayed for him. Sometime later, brother said, Brother Choma, the sorrow is getting big. Pray for me again. Brother Choma said, I don't pray the same prayer twice. What is it going to say? That's true. I don't pray the same prayer twice because one time is enough. God heard it. And that is so true, isn't it? And I believe Sister Hadira have prayed for the son and leave it to the hand of God. And just love the Lord. And love the children, no matter how bad they are. And pray for, and say, Father, forgive them because they make fun of you. Things like that. And every night, you probably went to bed and thank God. You know. And believe in the Lord for the salvation of the two boys. But not repeating prayer. Pray again. Father, you know, I'm sick. Heal me. Next moment, Father, I'm sick. Heal me. Father, I'm sick. Heal me. You keep on saying the same thing. You are sick. You don't even believe that you're going to get healed. Huh? So faith is reaching out to the Lord, the sound mind. And that's what Sister had the right ones. The salvation of my two boys. Brother Ben said, the Lord give it to you. And the two boys just fell down and weep and repent. The power of the Lord comes down. And God knew she was asking for a truth and speaking the right word. That's why the Bible we read earlier was, His word is all together in my tongue. Yes. A psalm when you have the word in you. And the mind is always full of the word of God, and that's why you speak the truth, because your mind is where your heart is. Or you, we will say, the heart is where your mind should be. Whatever is there, it's right here. You don't think with your mind here. You think with your heart. We think with our heart. And if the word of God is, if our heart is for the word of God, it will be there. Let me go close with the reading of this verse. 1 Corinthians 9:27. Just close with this verse. But I keep under my body and bring it into subjection, lest that by any means, when I have preached to others, I myself should be a castaway. Yeah, so we should buffer our body. Huh? Bring the natural mind under subjection, under captivity of the Word of God. Right? Our mind is always freaking. May the Lord help every one of us. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word, Lord. That's so much that you have recorded down, Father, for us in the experience of the life of the saints of old. All that which you have recorded, they're not there just for the sake of making the Bible a big book. They were written out for our ammunition, for our edification, for our understanding. They are example for us to follow, to understand why those saints of you, Lord, are so blessed, and why that they respond to you the way that they responded, because they have a walk with you. Yes, right, Lord. Enoch walked with God. Abraham walked with you too, Father. Joshua walked with you. Mary walked with you. And that's what these people, Lord, the saints of old, they can speak the word because it's already an item in their tongue. Yes, Father. Out there in the world, Father, every day we go out there, that's all the voices out there. There's thousands and thousands of voices trying to get our attention. Be it the hawker, be it the mall, be it the Instagram or the Facebook, or be it the Twitter, or be it the Netflix. Be anything, Father. Our work, our problem, the voices are calling for our attention. But Lord, of all those voices, May we all be able to sing out that one important voice that is calling us to get close to you. For in so doing, Lord, then can we bring our mind, everything, under captivity. In the thoughts, O Father, that should be the Word of God. The understanding, the wisdom of God. For you have given us, Lord, the power of a strong mind. So Lord, grant it to us, Father, as we walk with you, until we see Christ face to face. Bless all now, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Blessed be the name of the Lord.